Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne-Marie Beggs. My company is the Paragraph Challenge. I work with children from the ages of 4 up to my oldest client to date is 81. And so all of my students are neurodiverse. What does that mean? They're either dyslexic, dyspraxic, calculic, ADD, ADHD, or autistic. Now, what does that mean in layman's terms? So usually they're struggling in some way, either emotionally or with academics like reading, writing, maths, or social skills. So I'm always on the lookout for interesting people. And I connected with Helen Dillon on LinkedIn. Helen has a company called Your Path Coaching that works with teenagers. And we all know that being a teenager is difficult. And there's a lot of choices you have to make when you're a teenager, like what subjects you might want to choose, what might be the best subjects, what you might need if you want to go to college, and all kids want different things. So Helen is going to tell you a little bit about what she does and why she does it. So morning, Helen. Over to
Morning.
you.
Thank you for the introduction.
You're very welcome. So if you just want to give us a little bit of information about what your business is and I suppose how you got into this business.
Okay. So I am a careers coach for teenagers and young adults, and I help them to choose their careers for after secondary school, or maybe young adults may have already started college, but they're very unsure. So I can help them work out if that's what they want to continue at, or maybe they've dropped out and they want to start again. So I'm a life coach, and I bring that life coaching practice to teenagers. And to help them. So I run mostly it's a 4-part program, and I first of all I work out with them who they are. So I try to get them to go inside and find out who they are, and then we try and, well, where do they want to go to? What kind of a life do they want? So we don't really start talking specifically, might be mentioned, but we
Sure, yeah.
don't really start talking about specific careers until maybe the third or fourth, well, the third session. And then we really start thinking, okay, we bring all of that together, where, who you are, what you're passionate about, what your interests are, and how you like to work. Some people want to work inside, and are happy with an office job. Other people hate that. So we take all of that into consideration,
Yeah.
and then we try to put it all together, work out what kind of a career would give them that, and then we work out the career path. Here in Ireland, we're great at wanting to go to university, and but it's not for everybody,
Definitely not.
and there's lots of different options available now with apprenticeships and PLCs and further education and training. There's always just work. People can go to work and find careers without any particular qualification, although I am an advocate for qualifications. So if people do want to go to work, they can get on the job training and get qualifications within the work setting, which I am in favor of.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do. The reason I do it is an interesting one, because I chose poorly when I was doing my leaving cert. I chose engineering, and I thought it would be cool. At the time there weren't many women in engineering, and it'd just be, really cool. There were other people in my family who are engineers, and pay was great, and you'd have a fabulous career. And at the time, there was a lot of the multinationals were just beginning to come into the country. This was back in the early 90s. And so the economy was beginning to lift. There was the jobs were becoming available. So off I toddled, off to college, and got through. I wasn't passionate about it. I didn't love it, but I didn't understand that at the time. I mean, the writing was on the wall, but I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. I was probably a bit naive and a bit immature, maybe. And I went to work, and I was fine,
Wasn't for you.
but I had to work really hard as I was getting, moving up the ranks a little bit. I never really got very high, but I had to work really, really hard just to be good enough. Or that's what I felt.
That's what you
And
felt, yeah.
what I know now was that I was missing the passion.
Yeah, I mean, I like you. My family were very academic driven, and like they wanted us to go to college, and I was the eldest. And I went to study science because I absolutely loved science. But I only got into Maynooth, which is a trek away from Malahide, and it was a bigger trek then, I can tell you. Did get a train to town and a train to Maynooth. Now I was lucky if I could get a train to Maynooth because there was only a few a day. So other times I'd have to get a bus from town and it went all the way around through Lucan and Leixlip, which looked like the countryside then. And so it might take me 2 hours to get there and the same to get home for one class. And so I absolutely loved science, but I hated college because it was too far away.
Far
And a
away.
lot of the people there were living there and I wasn't. So I didn't have that social connection. And so, I mean, I gave it up. Now, I still love science and I'm still very interested in it, but I like education as well. But I remember what I really wanted to do when I was in school was be an air hostess. And my parents didn't have anything against it, but someone else in the extended family, when I told them what I wanted to do, went, "Oh, a glorified trolley dolly." But in those days, like early, in Aer Lingus, air hostesses were nice jobs and you travel. I mean, I still love traveling and I think it would have suited me much better. And then I might have gone to college after that. Completely different. I went back and retrained. And it's a completely different experience. You just, when you're passionate about something. I mean, in the intervening years, I was a financial controller. But like you said, I got that because I actually got a part-time job up in a supermarket. And then the guy said, "Oh, do you want to run the delicatessen?" And I said, "Oh, like you seem really good at numbers and stuff. Do you want a job in the office?" And I worked my way up. And I just happened to be good at it, but it's a terribly mind-numbingly boring job. It's very repetitive. It was good when my kids were small because I started at 8 and finished at 3. As they got older, it just didn't. Because I did climb the ladder and I became the financial controller of a very big organization, it didn't fit well with my kids because I was bringing work home and I was too tired. And so I left and retrained. And this job works well because I work from home. Where are you based, Helen?
I'm based in Naas in County Kildare.
And
So,
yeah, go ahead.
yes, when I had three small children, I couldn't work hard enough to be good enough, and I just felt it was just too much. I had twins as well, and it was fairly
I
intense.
say that's busy.
So I left. I became home carer for a few years, but then I had to go back to work to help with the finances. And so I took a local job and as a sales administrator. And now I could use some of my engineering because it was kind of in construction. But really, I really wasn't working to my potential, and I knew it. And I thought, oh, this is just a stopgap, but it became a long gap. And then, at that point, then the kids were teenagers and getting a lot more expensive. And we're thinking, well, they'll want to go to college. I really wanted to kind of retrain or something. I still wasn't quite sure. I got laid off from that job. I took another job in a GP practice, wasn't gone on that. And then in 2016, I was able to, my husband, I took a job abroad in Germany. My children were now who heading to college, we thought.
As
And
every
so
parent does.
we went to so he took a job in Germany, and I went with him, because actually it was that job, his job was more than our job, two jobs combined, so it was paying more.
Makes sense, yeah.
So, and I went back. Did a part-time degree in UCD in business studies, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. It was all about personal development, which is one of my core values, is personal development and lifelong learning. So, I
Yeah.
mean, it just, we were studying things like HR and organizational development and all of that. And I just, oh,
You
if
sound
I could lick it up
fantastic.
off the stone, I would. I loved it. And so I came back. I was away for 2 years studying. I was coming back home to Ireland every month for my classes. It was great. And then I went back in Ireland. Then after 2 years, I went to a life coach. And because I wanted then to say, right, okay, I need a serious career, a real job. So, after about half an hour, she was saying, well, why don't you do this? And I, what do you mean this? Why? And she kind of said a consultant. And I said, well, I'm not really an expert in anything. I'm just a jack of all trades, master of none. And she's no, like a life coach. And within a flash, I went, oh, amazing. Do you know what? I always thought it would be fabulous to be a career guidance teacher, helping teenagers to choose a career. But actually, this would be better because I wouldn't have the constraints of career guidance teaching, because they're actually career guidance counselors. And I think a lot of them get sucked into kind of the mental health issues.
At the moment,
And there's not enough work, I believe, within the schools to help the kids make a proper choice,
No, there definitely isn't. I mean, so some kids are very driven and they only want the jobs that are going to pay the big money. Some of and it's that suits the kids who are very academic. A friend of my daughter's, I remember her mom asked her what did she want to do in college, and she said, "Well, I want to have nice clothes and drive a nice car and work in an office." And she has created a job like that for herself. So,
Fine.
that's kind of, she didn't care what she did as long as she was going to have the material things that was going to, and she didn't want to work outside, like you said, it's important. But then I think teachers sometimes just look at, okay, what are they good at in school? Okay, so I remember one my career guidance teacher advising me to give up art, even though I really liked art, and it's a nice leisure, a break from the academics of school. And I loved PE and I loved science, and she goes, "Oh, but you're much better at science. Just do all the science subjects, give up the art," because I think I've got a C. But I mean, I've helped my kids do their leaving cert art. So it's not about what you're just that good at. You have to see, like, well, what's going to be, I suppose, good for the person as a whole, isn't it? So what's them of, if you're doing only seven academic subjects, it's a lot on your brain. And you need to have something that I suppose you're passionate about, but maybe it's not, you're not going to get an A in it. But does that actually matter in the great scheme of things? Because, like you said, you don't have to go straight to college. You can do a PLC course. I work with a lot of homeschool kids. They don't do the leaving cert. They do PLC courses and they get into the colleges anyway. So, like, there's a lot of emphasis on the wrong things, isn't there? So I get what you're talking about with career guidance. So that's where you come in, because you're looking at the whole person from a more holistic point of view.
And the subjects are only a part of it, and they may have chosen their subjects poorly anyway. I do help TY and students to pick their leaving cert subjects. And again, we'll kind of look forward, well, what kind of a career do you want? And now at that stage, they're probably only 16 and they're very, very young. Even 17, 18 is still very young.
It is. I mean, I went to college at 17 and it is too young.
It is. And but that's the system we have, and that's what we have to deal with,
Work with, yeah.
and try and make the best choice we can with what we've got. So I try to help them work out, but it's not only about grades, it's also about, well, what pathway are you going to use? You
Yeah.
know, okay, career, university is amazing. It is fabulous, and it really does propel your career quicker. But
Absolutely.
if it's not for you, it's not for you, and there's no point, you know, pushing yourself through something that you hate. Whereas an apprenticeship, if you're a practical person and you learn better, you know, you learn by touch and feel and
Yeah,
doing stuff
hands-on,
in
yeah.
practice, that's a way better pathway for you than an academic, you know. And now we've got amazing apprenticeships,
Yeah,
right, where you
so
can get
yeah.
your honours degree through apprenticeships. And but there's still not enough emphasis put on those, because the schools are, even though we don't have the league of tables like they do in the UK, it's still important to the schools to
Oh, dear,
attract,
and it's still, well, I know
you
because,
know.
yeah, my son went to a private school, and a lot of people used to say, oh, but that's very expensive. And they don't get as many students going to like Trinity or something as some of the others. But no, because it was an international school. So some kids went abroad college.
Yeah.
And I mean, loads of my son's year went off to find themselves, you know what I mean? So they went traveling for a year like the Americans do. They went to Australia and then they came back and they went to college. You know, some of the ones that went, one guy went to college and studied veterinary science, but when he was finished it, he then did something completely different. And my
Yeah.
daughter's friend, who studied medicine, is now teaching yoga. So, you know, and she did that all
Absolutely.
medical training because, yeah, but it's, I think some people then realized, okay, well, what they thought the job was going to be is not what the job is.
Yeah,
And that a
absolutely.
lot of jobs, some of the higher paid jobs come with like so much pressure that it's not always, I suppose,
Yeah.
doesn't always give you a balanced quality of life, does it?
That's
So.
what I see as my main job. I never tell a student which career to choose. Never. It's not for me to do
Yeah.
that. It's not, it has to come from within them. You know, they're the ones that are suggesting it. I will then help them research. But what I will say to them is, if they're telling me something about themselves, oh, I'm this type of a person or that type of person, and then they choose a job which is not
Suited to
that
their
it doesn't add
personality.
up to what they're telling me about them or how they like to work. That's my job then. So, but I thought you told me that, you know, this, that, and the other, that you're not a people person, but now you want to work with people, you know. And they kind of go, oh yeah, they don't really think it through because they don't know how to, because they've no
No, because,
experience of it.
yeah, I know. I think, I mean, when I was younger, my dad didn't want us to have part-time jobs because he thought it would distract from our education. Well, I actually think that sometimes part-time jobs can be very good for teenagers because for
Absolutely.
the quiet ones, it gives them social skills, but they have to
Yeah.
engage people. And then I suppose they have some money, they learn how to manage money. And that was
Yeah.
my dad's fear that we'd get used to money and we wouldn't want to go to college.
Oh, yeah.
But I
No,
do
it doesn't,
think that
but
I was very, very quiet and when I left, and that was one of the things, reasons I didn't like college. If I'd had a part-time job and I had been used to dealing with loads of different people, it might have been a better experience.
yeah.
Because I know once I
Working.
worked in the supermarket, then you have to talk to people.
Yeah.
And then you realize, well, you actually, I mean, I always liked talking. I was just shy. I'm not shy now,
Yeah. But you see, the thing about that part-time job, it's actually building work skills.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And
You
life
know, you're
skills are
building, you
so
know, the
important, aren't
team
they?
building.
Yeah.
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 And
The
you're
team building
learning.
skills and all of that, you know, so there's a lot to be gained from. And also, if it's a pretty horrible job, it
Oh,
will
yeah.
actually propel kids to study because they're going to say, I don't want this for the rest of my
Oh,
life.
my daughter is in a performing arts college in London, and she was working part time in kind of restaurant late bar place. And she said to me, "Oh my God, how does anyone do this as a career?" She goes, "There's no way she'd be continuing to do that." So you're right. If you have a few different part-time jobs, then you realize like how hard some of those actual jobs are.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are hard. There's no point in saying like working as a waiter and a wait is
Absolutely.
you're standing on your feet, long hours, meet a lot of nasty people sometimes who are not very polite. And so then you realize, okay, well, this isn't as great as I thought it was going to be. I don't
And
want
more
that.
than likely, you're on the minimum wage and you might be on a 0 hour contract and, all of,
No, yeah, no progression. Yeah. So you'll be
and
still
you're
on that
used and
10 years later.
abused.
Exactly. So you're based in, so do you work in person, online, combination? What way do you work? How do you?
I work mostly online, actually.
Okay.
My original plan was to work in person, and I was kind of thinking the greater Kildare area, maybe a bit into Dublin or,
Yeah.
but then COVID hit and we all went online. And I went, well, actually, I can cover the whole country now.
You can
So
cover
I've
the
had
whole world,
time.
really, Helen.
Well, I kind of think, do you know what? There's enough people in the Republic of Ireland. I do. And I know a lot
The potential
about,
is there to work with anyone, really.
I know a lot about the CAO system. I know a lot about the universities here in Ireland. I don't know much about
At the other ones.
anything outside. But I suppose my key skill is research. So
Yeah.
I have helped kids to study abroad. So, it's all about research and just checking out what's there. You don't have to know everything, so just the research. So I do help students study abroad, but one of the key things, which was why I was always interested in connecting with you, Anne-Marie, is that I absolutely am passionate about careers for people with learning differences,
Yeah.
and I think there's jobs for everybody. As a society, we need everybody to work who can work.
We absolutely do, because if everybody wanted to do the same thing, then sure, like we'd all be stuck. But maybe, I mean, it's kind of a bit like that at the moment. There's a lot of businesses now where people have retrained during COVID and they don't want to do the jobs they did prior. And I know in England, where my daughter lives, massive skills shortages in a lot of areas. COVID and Brexit combination. So, but I agree with you, there is a job for everyone, and that it is that a lot of the kids with who are dyslexic or dyspraxic or whatever that have the most difficulty in school, because schools are mostly focused on, okay, you need to learn to read and write properly, and you need to get like try and get that honor in English, blah, blah, which is not probably what they want to do at all. But they have a huge amount of other skills that can be used somewhere else. And they are the ones that fall through the net in the schools, because the other ones, well, a lot of kids know their own mind. I never really knew what I wanted to do when I left school. Neither did my son. My two daughters were always, one of them was passionate about dance, so she knew she was always going to go to college in England. Coincidentally, she got into pharmacy in Ireland. Now, after she did her whole training over there, she's going, "God, I should have done the pharmacy." And I remember my husband saying to her at the time, "Don't turn it down, just defer it." But she didn't anyway. And I mean, she's very successful. And my youngest daughter was an elite gymnast, so she also followed her sister to down the performing arts route. My son didn't have it. He was passionate about animals, but he didn't have a no. There was nobody like you around to say, "Well, this is what you could do." With like, I tried, but as a mother, it's completely. I'd be sitting there around the flames, going, "How would I do this?" And you don't know all the options because it's not my specialty. My specialty, putting kids with skills. Yours is putting them with different skills, and I suppose each to their own, isn't that? That's
Absolutely.
the and a lot of. You exist, Helen. Well, lots of people don't know that I exist either.
Oh, that's true.
Despite my best, it's such a small country. You would think we would know everything that's available, but We still don't, because schools are not very good at sharing information. Like, if they were, everyone would know about you and they would know about me, but you know.
Yeah, well, they don't want to know about me because the career guidance teachers should be doing what I'm doing, you know. So,
Yeah, but like you said, I know a few career guidance teachers, and all they're doing is dealing with mental health issues. They might have one. I mean, in the school, my daughter lasted like 3 months in secondary school before I homeschooled her, and then she went off and did performing arts. But in her school, there was one, and there was probably nearly 1,000 students. So, like, what are you going to get
Ah,
out of
that's
like
ridiculous.
10 minutes, like 10 minutes once a week or something, if you're lucky? Like, and so there's no way they can physically do what you're doing, do all that research. Theirs is just giving you the general. And I remember my son came home with like hundreds and hundreds of pages of stuff, and I was going, they do know he's dyslexic. Like, he's not going to read all that. And he did fill out this big long form and tick what you like, kind of like what you do, but no holistic element to it. So he was doing all the tick all these boxes to see what suits you and then come back to me. But sure, he'd no interest in fishing through a 120-page document to come to the same conclusion. Like, anyway, so how can people contact you, Helen?
I am on all of the, well, most of the social media platforms, particularly LinkedIn is one. You can get me, Helen Dillon, Your Path Coaching, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Helen Dillon, Your Path Coaching will find me. I'm
Yeah.
also on Instagram at your underscore path coaching and Facebook as well. My website is yourpathcoaching.ie, and you can sign up to my newsletter. And I tend to issue a blog once a month and newsletter once a month. I try not to. I don't have time really to be,
It's so
you
hard
know.
because, I mean, I used to do a lot of blogging. I haven't done as much recently. And I put all my blogs together in a book last year. But I have a podcast that I do with my husband once a week under my name, The Paragraph Challenge. I'm on LinkedIn as Amory Beggs. And like Helen, I'm on all the other social media platforms as myself and the Paragraph Challenge. So it's not that hard to find me. So this interview will be on the podcast later on in the week, and then I will release the YouTube video of it as well. So for those
Fantastic.
who only like to listen, you can listen, and those who like to see faces, they can check out the video. So great to speak to you this morning, Helen. And thanks very much for coming
And
along.
thank you, Anne-Marie, for inviting me along.
You're very welcome. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I'll see you next time.